Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're going to talk about the fans and the atmosphere in Koch Arena with Reggie McIntyre. He is Director of Fan Engagement at Wichita State. We've got a lot of topics to cover. Let's start with kind of some background. How do you become a Director of Fan Engagement? What got you interested in this career?
So first of all, thank you for having me today. Has given me this opportunity is love for the people and love for sports in general. I'm a former student athlete, played a little bit of football at North Carolina State before I was injured, track and field. Sport has always been a part of my life. Fan engagement, being interested in that career, fan engagement is actually technically still new. A new segment of marketing that has been a focus. Marketing has evolved and will forever evolve. That's the beauty of it. Fan engagement or experience in certain places starting to emerge all across college athletics. Oregon State, for example, has an ideation department. Our fellow conference member, Central Florida, now has a department dedicated to brand advancement. And so you're going to see different types of engagement, whether it's tangible or survey, in the athletics realm. I wanted to be the person that can reach that, to reach the people and listen to them and go out there and research and find their comments and actually try to make alterations based on every single game, whether it's volleyball, men's basketball, women's basketball, or baseball. We wanted to see, you know, what's plausible, separate the fake versus the reality, and continue to evolve.
So you're at North Carolina State, you're playing football,
yes, sir.
Then that ends. How did you get from there to flipping to the fan side, the administrative side?
At North Carolina State, I got my first opportunity. I was kind of lost, didn't know what to do without football, but I love sport. Dr. Yao at that point in time gave me an opportunity to work on two sports that I had no clue about. Gymnastics and wrestling were my first two sports in my career. Then I obtained rifle. The challenge was to learn and understand those sports that I've never played. Obviously, gymnastics. I don't know if y'all know too much about me, but I'm a big boy. So you'll never see me in a singlet, hopefully. You have to go in and you have to see and you have to figure out what makes people tick. You have to understand where they're coming from and their perspective. The beauty of marketing is there's no right or wrong answer. Everybody feels like they have the right or wrong answer, but my job is to ask why. And because of that, throughout my career, as I continue to build women's basketball to football at NC State, then being recruited to go into Louisville as a marketing GA into external relations, the path has remained the same. You dabble on different things like sports info. You know, I had an opportunity to work with a Hall of Famer, Kenny Klein, at Louisville. Who taught me some of the ins and outs of his position. Worked in tickets at NC State and Louisville and at Holy Cross to learn that perspective. Have to do some facilities work as well. You have to be well-versed to see, because people's engagement from when they walk into the building, it changes. And I will actually correct myself. As soon as they enter the parking lot, people's perspectives on a game day can change. And all those things have to be evaluated and consulted, and those things have to continue to evolve over a period of time. I was lucky enough, I came here as an assistant director of marketing and community outreach, continued to develop here at Wichita State. Darren Boatwright took a chance on me and granted me this opportunity because I wanted to make change.
So North Carolina State had a rifle team?
Yes, sir.
And what do you do? Can people come and watch the rifle team?
Absolutely. We would literally go out to a shooting range, and different schools from across the country would come in. I remember my first meet. I had no clue what I was doing. It was NC State versus Ole Miss. And I was like, do I play music here? What do I do here? And it was one of those sports. And instead of pumping up the crowd, literally we had boards that said, everybody be quiet. They have to concentrate. You know, so you have to just learn the culture.
Right. Interesting.
It's interesting, but you know, it's one of those things where, depending on where you are in the country, everybody has a niche or something unique to them, and that engagement piece has developed along with those different niches in sports.
there was a time, not too long ago, you know, you opened the doors and you had a had an athletic event. You played basketball or you played football or whatever. At some point, and I don't know, maybe it's the influence of minor league baseball, maybe it's the, you know, the NBA always seems to be on the leading edge of some of these promotions and things. When did that start to change? Give us your expertise on that.
For me, I would actually say early 80s started it. The pop of minor league baseball, college basketball was thriving. NBA was thriving at that point in time as well when it comes to entertainment. There were a lot of other leagues at a certain point in time. You know, the NBA was competing against another league. The NFL, if, even earlier than that, was competing against another league. You still see certain leagues pop up today. Because of that challenge, people had to look outside the box. Now those other leagues since then did not work because of the magnitude of the brands. People forget brand advancement has a lot to do with it. For me, I would say what stuck in as far as college athletics was early 80s. I want to say it's five slamma jamma, Houston, 82 to 84. Going back, looking at the tape, looking at their arena, seeing people just vibing out, seeing the band and people dancing, and people are saying, what is this? You know, we're not that. We're going to go in and we're going to, you know, do our traditional pieces. And what is this concert music? What is this? At that point in time, it was more of a pop feel. What is that? And had people ask questions. And then you see people, as the boom of media formed, you see people, you know, reaching out to see, you know, who are these people? Stories started changing. Characters, you know, the athletes had personality. You know, that personality, people's programs, they started branding those players and those personalities to fit that culture. And for me, that's where I thought that changed in college athletics, was that program seeing an entire city, state get behind these young men. It made people want to involve, because they wanted to be more than just entertainment. They wanted to be more than just basketball. As technology and culture advances, you're always going to see entertainment evolve. One thing that's hard about our job, though, when it comes to that culture, that when you say entertainment never stops, the average person obtains about 4,000 to 5,000 messages a day. We don't even realize it. Sometimes we tune those messages out. You're on the radio, most people try to flip the channel because they're done consuming those messages, or you're watching TV, or you can remember the jingles, or we consume that many messages a day. It's finding that balance, and a lot of schools, a lot of pro NFL did a great job of balancing out those messages. NBA, you know, sometimes it's okay to roll out the ball and play, you know, but as soon as you charge a price for it, that expectation grows and develops. When the revenue started booming, those other expectations started booming as well. And so I would say that early 80s time frame was where that boom truly happened. Uptick in ticket prices, uptick in, you know, facilities, etc., was around that time frame. You look further ahead, now in college athletics, it seems like an arms race. You know, there's collegiate baseball parks with pools. You know, there are, you know, you go to a facility and you see there's putt-putt greens and arcades and all these other things. And, you know, something that we can't forget, but the entertainment aspect now in sport will always be there.
You mentioned the technology, and that's a big part of it. You know, you now have video boards and things like that. That's really changed. We'll get to that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. When I walked down to your office, you were looking at a tape of the Cincinnati-Wichita State game, going through it to look, you know, where were your people? Where were the cheerleaders? How mm-hmm. were the promotions working? How was the crowd responding? Mm-hmm. Take us through that piece of it, the evaluation, the scouting that you do when you go back and look at the basketball games.
Yes. You have to go in and break down everything in multiple parts. The first thing I do is crowd reaction. people take a look at, you know, a certain dunk. When Shaq goes up and he just destroys the rim, what is that reaction? What are we doing? What is the presentation? You have to take a look at those things. Audio. Did you play the right thing at the right time? I've been to different arenas across the country, and I've seen certain situations where it's getting tight and the proper music wasn't played and you lose the crowd. I've been at places where the crowd has absolutely booed. entertainment. They've booed, you know, because they didn't feel or they didn't like what was going on. I try to study shifts in momentum. That's something that I learned at University of Louisville under one of my mentors, Amy Blevins Morgan, was to study momentum of the game to see where your people are. The tape doesn't lie. You have to educate yourself on the game and your coach. So whether it's while I'm at NC State, a Sidney Lowe that we'll use every single time out he's got, or, you know, working with a Greg Marshall who doesn't call a lot of timeouts, you have to build your game based on how that coach is going to react, and you have to study their traits and their habits, what they're going to do in those situations. It's kind of like poetry in motion. You want to make sure that every little thing is being covered. But those, in principle, those are the 3 to 4 things that I like to go back and take a look at the film and evaluate. The next step for me, and that's just raw footage too, by the way. I go back and watch the broadcast as well. What are the commentators saying? What camera angles are we missing? You want to go back and look at crowd expressions as well, because the fans will let you know. The Cincinnati game we just spoke of, I love the shot. Young child, probably wasn't even a year old, with earmuffs on, and the baby's just asleep. So I go back and I think, wasn't that loud enough at that moment in time, you know, for a young child to be asleep? But it was a 11 a.m. game, and I'm not going to lie to you, I'd rather sleep in, so maybe the baby had the same thought process that I had. You want to make sure that you cover every single element. I would go back in, and whether it's the Roundhouse or Go Shockers, fan boards, Facebook, Twitter, etc., go back and read the comments, talk to student athletes, talk to the fans after the game. I have an open door policy. I love when fans come by. I love when fans come by and, you know, they give me good comments, bad comments. Because to me, any type of feedback is great. There's some truth to everything that is said. And that's what I love about it. Analyzing those things and analyzing people's thoughts and people picking people's brain. I hate groupthink. Groupthink gets a lot of marketers in trouble. I would rather somebody come and say, hey, Reggie, which I've had. In the past, I've had people come and say, hey, this halftime has been awful, and I think you should do this. And then my favorite question is why. And to get their perspective of it, where were they sitting? What happened during that moment in time? Why was it awful? Comparison levels of alternatives is what I like to say, is they're always comparing it to your next game, or what have you done for me lately? You have to go back in and you have to break those things down.
What's the best way for people to give you feedback?
Fans have contacted me via Twitter. They've literally come in the office to send me an email or even call. Doesn't matter to me. I love that feedback, and sometimes I'll go and I'll go look for it. Shout out to Cheryl Davis if you're listening. She actually did a poll. She actually did my job for me. Very intelligent. Ask all the right questions. I got all the right feedback, kept people on pace and on track. And, you know, I love when people do those things. I go and I search for those. The hashtag watches has helped me out tremendously to be able to go and do my job and do it consistently. You want to go in and you want to find that feedback. And whether it's the tape, you know, word of mouth, seeing interactions or social interactions, you know, that's what I love to do. And seeing that helps out a lot.
So after the season, you will go back and watch all the home games.
Yes.
You'll make notes. What kind of conclusions have you come to?
There are a couple things that I would like to change. Momentum base pieces. If I could have it my way, and we can talk about this more in depth a little bit later. I believe that in a basketball game, the two precious timeouts now, due to the media format, are the underfours. I want to keep those open, that way there's flexibility. I think sometimes we're spoiled to watch the product on the floor. And there's sometimes when we're up by 20. And sometimes you don't need that pump up. But sometimes you need it. Those are things that, you know, for me, you want to take and evaluate and say, what can we do here? Seeing people's reactions. The Temple game, for example. Before Cincinnati, I went back and looked at Temple because I thought from an engagement standpoint, I thought those were our two best games engagement-wise. And seeing people's expressions in the crowd when something didn't happen, I thought that was one of the beautiful things. You know, because people's expectation, they expected to see something, and to see that change and that quick reaction, you know, I thought that was a beautiful thing in our arena. And the fans responded, and our fans, you know, they are number one. They help create the culture. We have a great fan base, and they will tell you what they want, and they will tell you how they feel. And I'm blessed enough to be able to work for a university and an athletic department that has a fan base just like that. That's something that you really don't get across the country.
The Temple game was spectacular. It was talked about, you know, if you're an old guy like me, the Iowa NCAA tournament game, the Florida State NIT game from a few years ago, that was one where I think people really enjoyed themselves, and it was such a dramatic game that was really, really helped the whole atmosphere of the thing.
Absolutely.
Let's go through some of the process. Take us through a game night. Let's start with maybe some basics. How many people work for you on a game night?
For me, including myself and PA, we have about 15 people. We have people dedicated to social. Our director of marketing, Caleb Blanding, is one of the best in the country when it comes to social at a glance. Weston Pletcher, assistant director of new media, helps out engaging, watching the engagement, photography, etc. And then we have our intern promotional team, as well as legendary Don Hall on the PA. So,
what's their routine? When do people start showing up? When do preparations start?
Preparations for a game, we start prepping for a game about 10 business days in advance. It's just something that I learned. You want to get ahead of it. You want to try to understand those trends. Just like we go back and watch the film, based on the way a team's trending, you know, we try to see and try to guess what they're going to bring to the table. We talked earlier, Greg Marshall doesn't call timeouts. And so we need to prep for that. How can we move this in case something gets tighter? What do we need to do here? Our fans said this last game, let's try to do more of this. You know, we had, you know, analyzing the contestants. You know, I want to see somebody win every time they step onto the court. You know, we had a lot of great people hit fantastic shots. Somebody won a car rental, gym memberships, literally a little bit of everything. And that was awesome. But that prep starts about 10 days in, and we continue to build until we have that script finalized right before the day before.
Is musical chairs, is that the most popular just because of the potential for a car wreck kind of a thing?
Yes. The thing is we've had so many times where the kids just run and going for the glory, and they just run into one another. Musical chairs, I think fan favorite wise from a promotional piece is picking the young kids for the Dunkin' Donuts, because they're all for it 5 days beforehand, or, you know, the day before you get to the game. It's like, well, you try to pre-select, you can't do it, and then you're in the crowd and you're asking a little four-year-old if they want to do this. And you have some that say, I want to show the world what I got. And you have others that say, well, I don't know, but I'll do it. You know, you never know what you'll get. So every single promo is different. In the prep for every single promo, you just never know what you're going to get, which makes it fun.
Can't go wrong with little children and a basketball goal out there. That's always a good one. How about planning for next season? You're, I guess, already involved in it. When do you really hit your stride as far as locking in plans for next season?
Because I'm absolutely insane, I usually start the day after our last home game. So for us, it started March 5th. We're always looking to improve and grow. Operating the NCAA tournament also helped out with a different perspective as well, because hosting here in Wichita allowed me to talk to different athletic departments, band directors, spirit coordinators, to see how they operate too. So that added a different element this year. But overall, you know, the planning starts as early as possible, looking for engagement. What can we do giveaway-wise? What can we, you know, do better? Is it song choices, audio choices? I mean, I've played anywhere from Elvis to Lil Wayne in this building this last year. You know, getting feedback from whether it's Marshallville or students on campus and going around picking their brains. You know, what makes students tick? You know, those types of things. So that starts now.
Give us an idea how many moving parts there are: promotions, sponsorships, music, working with the band. How many of those, you know, are going on throughout a game?
Music-wise, I probably go through about 90 songs a game. I know it doesn't seem that much, but, you know, we try to, you know, utilize instrumentals and cut towards that time. And our band goes through about 30 sets per game, which is very, very good. Love Shocker Sound. They add a great element to our game day. A lot of promotional elements really don't change. They sign their contracts, and, you know, we want to help fulfill and help their engagement as well, their partnerships. So we try to do the best we can by our sponsors. Where it does change is the people, how they interact and what they want to do and what they want to accomplish during those games. But that's the best part of what we do, is the people.
Yeah, what's the right balance, and how do you go about getting the right balance of pep band versus music over the loudspeakers?
I honestly think it's game flow. Our pep band does a good job, war chant, playing the fight songs at the proper time, doing those traditional pieces. Band has played Seven Nation Army multiple times. We talk sound sometimes. Sometimes sound in our building is impossible. I go back to this tape of the Cincinnati game. There was a point in time during that game where we hit about 119 decibels. At that point in time, you literally can't hear the band, so we have no choice but to try to drown out or go over the sound so people can hear something. The roundhouse is a loud house as far as I'm concerned, because I've never been a part of a game day atmosphere where the crowd counts so much on top of that. But traditionally, we go with game flow.
That's a good segue into the topic of sound. I mm-hmm. think in my time at the Wichita Eagle, I did at least two stories where, you know, Wichita State said, all right, we're going to get sound right in this building, and they bring in people and they change the speaker configurations, and it seems to be a challenge. Give people an idea about how you are trying to get the best sound quality in that arena.
Right. And so we talked a little bit earlier about on a game day how many staff members I have. Generally, I have 2 to 3 people go into the crowd and sit down and hear the different spots during the game. The decibels or how loud the building is has a lot to do with a lot of things. Over a period of time, you have to pick and choose your spots. The quality of music also helps too. The way sound bounces, we have to make sure that we have a steady flow, because where to one person in the arena, they might be hearing the song at 70%, and the other person might be hearing at 110%. And on top of that, you have people clapping, people yelling, people screaming, cheering on their Shockers, which is what we want them to do. And so it's trying to find that nice balance, and how can we continue to have our arrangement in the arena flow as best we can. From a structure standpoint, we all see the vomitories where we enter and exit. Our building is very unique. It is round. And so just naturally some of the sound dissipates as the game goes on. But on record, when it comes to the loudness of our building, we definitely have one of the loudest buildings in the country, and that's due to our fans.
Sound and music is a big topic with fans. Another big topic we talked about a little bit. Let's go a little bit more in depth about the timeout promotions. I think this is a yearly concern. Fans feel like the promotions stop the momentum. So Wichita State has to balance how they build enthusiasm, how do they deal with the financial realities of sponsorships and those kind of things. So how do you approach that issue?
I think we have to first address the elephant in the room generally. Shocker Sports Properties has done an outstanding job selling sponsorships to help fund and generate, honestly, the atmosphere. And that's a loaded statement. They help us with funding, scholarships, etc. You know, I don't know what Charles Koch Arena would be without Lantry, who was a All-American this year. All those things balance out. I do think our fans hit the nail in the coffin. I think our fans are very educated. They know the game of basketball. A lot of the public outcry that happened this year happened the SMU game. We lost at home. It was a shocker. No pun intended. We want to continue to improve and work with our sponsors. We want to continue to engage them and do the right things. A lot of fan complaints come within the moment. When we're up by 20, and this is why I love Greg Marshall, he makes my job easy. We're up by 20, and the weather report plays at the under 4. Generally, I know people are going to get up and leave the building. But when that game is tight, when you have a game like Temple, where the atmosphere is amazing, people talk about it. It was featured on ESPN First Take, where Max Kellerman talked about the game day, or Cincinnati. We're going to have more of those down the line. You want to have that ability to continue to be able to alter and focus on momentum and focus on those changes. We want in the future to continue to develop a strategy on how we can move different things around. Like I said earlier before, I think the two most important timeouts the media are the under fours. Having that coach's timeout free to when we go on a run and other coaches calls timeout, that the building is loud and we see that decibel rating go up to 120. I take it as a challenge. I want to do a better job of providing a great atmosphere for our fans. We talked earlier, Greg Marshall really doesn't call a lot of timeouts, so we have to have that balance. And when you have certain coaches that use all of theirs, or Greg, who he has his team fight through adversity. On a game day, we have to do the same thing, and we have to pick and choose our spots. And I think that's what the people want. When we go on a 10-0 run and the coach calls a timeout, our fans don't want us to play an ad. They want to get on your feet. And throughout the year, our fans have gotten on board. Our sponsors have gotten on board. You saw the Get Loud during the Cincinnati game. That was a huge hit. Fans loved it. And it worked both ways. Our sponsors got the impressions that they love, and our fans got the momentum and the energy stayed within the building. So for that concern, that's one thing that I do want to address, and we will continue to build. You know, you need sponsorship in this day and age of college athletics. Shocker Sports Properties does a great job of doing those things. It's finding the right balance at the right time.
How much feedback do you get from coaches as far as the importance of game day atmosphere and how it affects winning and recruiting?
This was my favorite question. The biggest thing is always going to be recruiting. Coaches want to see packed houses. Recruits want to see the flash and the awe, and they want to feel the emotions of a game. I've had the opportunity at a young age to work with great coaches at North Carolina State, at Louisville, and at the College of the Holy Cross. All different sports, basketball, football, hockey, you name it. They all want their input. But the biggest thing is they are all consistent when it comes to they want their home games to be the hardest place to play. Greg Marshall is very passionate about what he does. I approach game days very similar. I really don't smile too much. I really don't talk that much because it's all business. Because we want to make sure that everything that we do it to the best of our capabilities. When it comes to coaches' input, you know, Greg is one of those coaches that allows me to do my job. He comes in with a lot of great feedback. Sometimes he tells me to turn it down because I can't hear during this timeout, you know, or it's keep it going. Everybody's panicking. They can't hear the roundhouse, loud house. There's nothing they can do. We feel like we're on top of them. For a coach, I hope that you continue that relationship and you hope that your arena at that particular time is the best place or the loudest place they can be. They care about attendance. They care about the students being there. All those different things comes for a coach at all of my stops, but Greg Marshall is unique. Play angry, coach angry, and I want our fans to cheer angry.
New addition to the game management over the summer, Wichita State installed the LED lights in Koch Arena. I think fans really enjoyed the bringing down the lights for the introduction, and then you can take them right back up again. What did they add to the game presentation?
I thought the LED lights in Koch Arena was fantastic. Hearing our men's basketball intro, the drum by the Siege, the lights going out, the crowd interacting, swaying side to side, it brought great production for TV and an intimidation factor for our away opponents because they weren't used to that in Charles Koch Arena. A lot of people didn't know what to expect. We want to continue to grow on fan experience pieces in Charles Koch Arena to let our fans know and show our fans that we care. We care about their efforts on the game day. They are the deciding factor. They've helped us win games, you know, and they will continue to do that throughout time.
Okay, you've got the spring, you've got the summer to prepare. What's next? What's on your wish list for games?
Like I said before, we want to continue to evolve. You asked me about a wish list. Where do I begin? I would like to see us make little investments down the road. From Galaxy guns to t-shirt shooters to firing machines. The latest trend now is as we continue to build upon Koch Arena. Love the light show, love the projectors. You know, I want presentation-wise in those moments that mean the most to you, Shocker Athletics or the history of the basketball or the volleyball program, is to showcase those different elements in different ways. I want more stuff for our fans. I want to continue to reward our fans for being great. Like I said, I worked at a lot of places, but to see a fan base like this, they deserve to continue to get rewarded. And I definitely want to provide stuff for the fans.
Okay, now I know what a t-shirt shooter is, mm-hmm. A galaxy gun. Define that for me.
Galaxy gun. It's two different types. A lot of NBA teams use it. It looks like a giant bazooka, and it has looks like it has like a revolver around it. It shoots t-shirts, mini moves, balls, you name it, into the air. And I mean, it's basically a giant submachine gun. I don't know how else to put it, but it's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Interesting. I think people would like that. And then the fire you're talking about, like for introductions, where there would be shooting flame kind of a thing?
Yes, sir. I love the pit. New Mexico does it very well. Colorado State did it very well. So did Utah. Putting fire machines behind the basketball goals. Just presentation. Presentation is everything nowadays. But to continue to add elements on game days, you know, that... It might be 30 seconds to certain people. It might be an eternity to others. They might just go, wow. You know, what is the next thing? What is the next step we can take to separate ourselves? That's what I want to continue to look into. Trends. Trends are key. Everybody wants to get on board. But my thing is I want to do those things. But also, too, game day tradition-wise, we want to create more and more game day traditions. And I think that's where we can continue to grow and develop. I think that's where technology can help us. You know, the power of WooShock here in the city of Wichita is unlike I've seen anywhere. Doing more things for the fans, WooShock's brand presence, all those things we can do. But anything that can help enhance the Shocker brand, I'm all for.
So there would be sponsorship availability if you want to sponsor a fire machine at Wichita State basketball?
Absolutely.
That'd be something out there. How about around the American Athletic Conference, did you form any general impressions about how games are run at some of the other places?
I did. One of the other, which I believe is probably going to become a huge rivalry down the line, Cincinnati. Did an outstanding job with crowd props, their spirit squads, I believe, competed, if not won, that national title. I have to get a correction on that a little bit later. But they do a good job of developing there. Central Florida, behind the scenes, we talk brand advancement. They invested in a lot of film and photography, a lot of those game day experience behind the scenes. So a lot of schools in the American Conference have their own niche, and they do those very, very well. I want to continue to evolve our marketing department and to continue to strengthen, and I believe we can do that here under the direction of Darren Boatwright.
Reggie, been interesting, giving people a little insight into what happens on game night at Coke Arena. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.